Rabbi Adin Eben Yisrael Steinsaltz, according to his biography which I got on his website, is a teacher, a philosopher, a social critic and a prolific author, and has been hailed as a once-in-a-millennium scholar. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the 60-odd books that he has authored and his various academic records. Rabbi Steinsaltz lives in Jerusalem. Baruch Hashem, he has 3 children, and Kenei Nahori has 10 grandchildren. With no more introduction, please, Rabbi Steinsaltz, our guest speaker. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the, at least for the brief introduction, which is, as usual, every introduction, as everything written about me, is always contains at least a factual mistake and something more. I mean, I'm not going to speak about the contents part, but about the factual mistake. I have 11 grandchildren, not 10. So you see, even from the beginning he got it wrong. So just imagine how wrong he was about the other sentences. Almost everything was wrong about it. Okay. That is basically not the subject, and I'm going to speak, which is, it is a subject, about the secret of Shabbat. Secret of Shabbat. It's called in the, that's really the, this term is mentioned in the Zohar. And this part of it is even mentioned in the prayer book, Rosa de Shabbos, the secret of Shabbos. The point about Shabbos being a secret is manifold, and as I could easily do it to give you a nice speech of 8 to 10 hours running to speak about Shabbat from different aspects. I'm just afraid that even the English patients won't hold on, and you will possibly either flee or disappear otherwise. So, therefore, in order to speak only about a very limited part of the whole notion of the secret of Shabbos. The secret which is, as I said, a manifold secret. Secret in itself, a secret for others, a secret in the way it appears for us and for other people. What is it and how does it work and so on. All these things are parts of the secret of Shabbos, which is, as Shabbos itself, a complex, complicated notion. Let me begin with the fact that this point about the secret of Shabbos is written somewhere, it's written, in fact, it's written in the Talmud that the Lord says, I have an unusual, precious thing, and I want to give it to you. I have something that I kept with me for the last thousands of years, and now I'm going to give you, and that is the Shabbat. So that is that precious hidden thing, which is the Shabbos. That precious hidden thing is what I call the gift of Shabbos, and as it is written in many sources, we speak about it as a being, not just a part of the cycle of life, but rather as a gift. And again, I can only be touching on certain parts of the same point. Now, in order to explain something about the position of Shabbos and what it is, and what is in a way the secret of Shabbos in the parsha, let me begin with a very simple and almost obvious comparison of Shabbat as a day to the holidays. We have a number of holidays, quite a number of them. In some countries, the Turks used to say there are three things are too many: Muslim fast days, Christian saints, and Jewish holidays. So we have lots of them, lots of holidays. Anyway, to speak about holidays, holidays are one point, and Shabbat is an entirely different thing. Even though in some lists, in several books, in fact, even in the book of Leviticus, or also in the book of Numbers, you have some kind of a way of putting Shabbat and the holidays as one group. But still, there is a big distinction, an important distinction between those two things. Now, in some way, to speak about something very obvious, not obvious to us always, but obvious within the what called the Jewish law, is that the holidays have a certain amount of flexibility in them. Holidays are there, but there is a sense in which we as the Jewish people, can somehow, we have some ability to move the holidays from one day to another. It's a strange thing, but it is true. It is true halachically, and again, you can, if you are interested, you can read about it in the tractate of Rosh Hashanah that deals with the same notion, that we have some kind of a, we can decide what are the holidays. To give, and it's true about every holiday, we, as what are called the Jewish court, the Jewish people, can make a decision. Right? As I say, "Eile mikre kodesh tikru otam, al tikru otam ela atem," which means you people, you my people, says the Lord, you my people have the ability to fix what is the holiday. Very important point, that we have the ability to do so. There is a beautiful story that looks, it sounds like a Hasidic story, even though it is not. It's a little bit earlier, it's perhaps a Hasidic story, but it's written in the Jerusalem Talmud, so possibly there were Hasidim there, but they didn't have this, the title of Hasidim at those times. And the Yerushalmi says, comes the day of Rosh Hashanah, the day of justice, and in heaven they make all the preparations. Now I'm not making almost any paraphrase. I'm just almost, it's almost a straight translation of a text. They make all the preparations. They put the chairs. You know, it's a judgment, day of judgment. So they put the chairs, they put the benches, they put the carpets. And everybody is ready. That's Rosh Hashanah. And then a notice comes from below. And the Lord says, my children decided that Rosh Hashanah is not today, but tomorrow. So let's make it tomorrow. So everybody, all the angels, take the carpets and fold them, they take the benches out, they take the chairs out, and it will be tomorrow. So here you have a very vivid picture of, say, the day of judgment. The Supreme Court is really going to judge the people of the world. And there is a date. And seemingly the, what I call the Lord that knows a little bit about it, fixed the date. And what I call the court below, the court of the, in the, whatever it was, in the law on earth, decided that we want to have it a day after. So everything is moved. The day is not today, the holiday is not this day, but it begins in another day. So this thing, which is called a basic halachic notion, is found in more than one place. And it's really, in a certain way, strange. There is a day, there is a day of Passover. Who fixes the day of Passover? At the end of it, the earthly court. Who fixes the day of judgment? Yom Adin HaGadol VaNora. Who fixes it? We, our court. Who fixes the Day of Atonement? We fix it. So the question is, how so? Now, in a way to explain it, first of all, almost all the holidays are connected with memories of the people vis-a-vis the Almighty. The meetings of the people in the holiday of Passover, in which there is freedom, in the holiday of the giving of the law, which is Shavuot, in the holiday of commemorating the tabernacles and the all the huts and the more or less temporary dwellings in the desert, which is Sukkot. But even so, the other holidays are interconnected with the Jews and with our history. So in a certain way, a holiday is, you may say, a holiday is built on the connection between the Creator and the people. That is what a holiday is. And therefore, we have some ability to move it. We can say, okay, we don't want it in this time. Let's make it a day after or a day earlier, as it is. Now, the main point is, if I'll try to deal with the concept, our holidays are called in Hebrew Moed. Moed. Moed means basically a holiday, but Moed, in the internal meaning of the word, means, and let me just put it, Moed means basically a date. A date in all the meanings that this word has in English. A date is what's called a time, a fixed time in the calendar. But a date is also a meeting. I mean, I suppose some of you had your experience of having dates. Some of you are waiting for more dates, but at least you know what a date is. So a date is, in a way, any kind of a holiday is a date. It's a date between us and the Almighty. We make a date. And in this date, every couple makes its dates in different way. The date that we have for Rosh Hashanah is not the same date that we have as we have for Passover, but we have a date. Now, the main point of a date is that a date does not happen until both parties come. If one party, doesn't matter who is the party, doesn't come, there's no date. So the date depends on two people or two coming together on a fixed time. If one of them doesn't come, then it's no date. So the notion of Moed is, therefore, it's a date between us and the Creator. And if we decide, for whatever reason, that today I'm too tired, or today is not the right time for it, and the date will be tomorrow. So the date will be tomorrow. So that's the point about all other holidays. So that is the rule about holidays. Now, that these are holidays, but Shabbos is a different thing. Shabbos is, as the language is, kviya v'kaima. It is set and settled. We cannot move it. We don't have any rule over it. We cannot move it from one day to another date. That is one of the things that is, Shabbat is there, unmovable, untouchable, which is probably not the right thing to say here in this country, but of course it should be said, because it's not the right thing. See, one of those things that we have with the Goyim, with the Christians mostly, was the changing of the day of that cannot be changed. Moving of the Shabbat to another time, to another day in the week, which is, we cannot do it. Even though, as I said, we can possibly do it with all kinds of other holidays. We can do it, we can make it, move it too, because of our convenience, because of other reasons, we can move it, but not Shabbat. Shabbat is fixed. Now, why is it that Shabbat, even though it is some kind of gain of a holiday, has a different law than the other holidays? Why is it so different that we cannot move it? It is a fixture. That explains also some of the things because about the notion of Shabbos. What is Shabbos? See, we have a holiday of Passover that commemorates our being saved from Egypt. Okay, so that is a date in our history. It is connected with our people, as the other days that are connected with our people intimately. Now, what does Shabbat commemorate? Shabbat has nothing to do with the Jewish people. Shabbat is created and consecrated before there are any people, truly not the Jewish people. So Shabbos is there much before there are Jews. Shabbos is in that sense, if I'm speaking about the whole work list of holidays, feast days, memorable days, days that should be commemorated one way or another. All these days are connected with the Jewish history in one way or another, except for Shabbos. Shabbos is before our history begins. It has nothing to do with us. Let me just add something more about it and say that Shabbos is some kind of a celebration. Of what? As it is written, I mean, you can read it. I know, I'm telling people all over the world, suppose I can say it also here. It is completely permitted under rabbinical, Hasidic, and other authorities. It's permitted for Jews to read the Bible. See, I know that it's possibly not understood like this. It's permitted. Jews can read it. So if you read it, I mean, just the first chapter, it's really the first chapter in reality of Genesis. And you see there about creation of Shabbos, which is a celebration. Vayivarech, Vayikadesh, the seventh day. To whom? To practically to nobody. The celebration of Shabbos is made, I say, it's a kind of, if I would put it this way, it's a celebration of something that began much before creation of man, that has nothing to do with creation of man, that doesn't have humanity as a part of it. It is the creator of the world is making a celebration. He's celebrating, called finishing his job. He finished. It's possibly whatever he has to say about the job, which is something else, I'll possibly just begin later, if I'll have a little, 2 minutes more to mention what it is. But anyway, he finishes the job, and he says, I'm sorry for being so gross, but he says, finish the job, I can rest a little bit. which is basically, if you read it in the Chumash, that is what it says. Not just in this verse, of course, in Chumash, they are much more lofty and nicer said, but basically that's what it says. Vainofesh. Vainofesh means just rest. I mean, it was a hard job creating the world. And just imagine what the creation means. Creation doesn't mean, as it is written, just creating the general things and allowing the managers and the sub-managers and all the workers to do the details. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has when say, let's say that he creates, say the, it's not even written where he created them, let's say possibly in the Thursday, he created the birds, the fishes, and possibly also, it's not really not written exactly where it was, where he created the insects. I suppose about this time. Okay, so he created the insects, and he took care that this type of bug has to have three colored points on its back, and that bug has to have four colors, four points, and so on. So like, just imagine to deal with those millions of bugs and bacteria and viruses. All of them has to be created meticulously in order that each of them will stand alone and will be able to compete, to survive, and so on. So it's a big job. Always, and that is, I'll come to it, all this job is dealing with all kinds of minute things. I mean, all kinds of minute things. I mean, what... just telling you, it's not. It is. There is a gene that governs the way the hair of a fly. I mean, the common fly. Now, the flies have hair on them, and the hair. Some of the hair goes to the right side. One of the hair goes to the left side. There is a specific gene that governs how the hair should go. So you think about it. The master of the universe is now taking care to make the fly how to part the hair, that the hair should go one way, this a part of them go one way and the other part goes the other way. So that is what are called the 6 days of work. And then comes Vainofesh. So, and therefore, because it's the end of a job, very complex job, and perhaps messy as well. Because some of the things that were created are not, you see, creating the angels was possibly a nicer job. Creating all kinds of bloodsuckers is not the same kind of thing. But they were created, perhaps not in the same day, but basically the creation compromises all of them. The small ones, the big ones, the beautiful ones. I mean, sun and moon are what are called gorgeous, but all kinds of terrible yellowish weeds that grow in the fields are not that glorious, but they were created by the same creator and the same effort in putting all of them. So at the end of the job, when it says there is a day, a feast, and so from that time on, Rebbeinu Shalom creates a private holiday for himself. The work has been done by him. The rest is his rest. And so he is celebrates a holiday of a, what I call, of finishing a job. And that is the holiday. This says he blessed this day, he consecrated this day. That is the private holiday that Rebbeinu Shalom has. In it, therefore, this private holiday has nothing to do with humanity. He didn't ask their opinion about it. He didn't ask the participation in it. Later on, they get involved. But at the first step in creation itself, it is just he himself is making what I call a private day of rest. Now, this private day of rest is therefore is something that is completely unconnected with any other holiday that was ever been created, because that is not the holiday of man. That is the holiday of the Lord Himself. It's His holiday. It's His special kind of a gift that He celebrates for Himself. And therefore, you can understand that what is Shabbos? Shabbos is not just that we have a holiday. Shabbos is a special gift. I have a good gift in my treasures, and it's called Shabbos. Why is this in the treasures? Because it has nothing to do with man. It's mine only, so says the Lord. It's my Shabbos is mine. That is my holiday, my day, my celebration. And even though it's a private celebration, it's my own celebration, I am doing something which is really unusual, and that is I make you, because I love you, I make you share this holiday with me. So you see, the point of Shabbos is not just that it is an important day, but it is a special gift that the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'm giving you something that nobody has it. Nobody can have it. Because that is my special gift that I'm giving, my private, very private holiday, which is only mine, that nobody has anything to do with it, is given to you. That is, among other things, why in the prayers of Shabbos, always, all the prayers, and in the better, the more exact the wording is, it's always more is kept always at the time. About when we mention the Shabbos in the prayers, we always speak about, we say about the other holidays, about the Moadim, we say Besimcha Besason, joy and gladness. About Shabbat we speak about Be'ahava uveratzon, with love and goodwill. Because in that sense, Shabbos is the gift of love. It is not a matter of anything that we deserve. It is something, because He loves us, He makes us, He gives us something to share, something which is only His. His private holiday, very, very private holiday, and therefore we speak about it always, about the gift of love. Shabbos is be'ahava uveratzon, always with love, the point of love. And that is what the verse says. Shamu bnei Yisrael ta Shabbat ki oti. The children of Israel should keep the Shabbat, because the Shabbat is ki oti beni uveinichem. That's a sign between you and me. Why? Because that is a very special sign. That is like, how do I do when I am really, I love somebody. When the real form way of love is when I take something which is only mine and nobody else, and nobody has any right to it, and I'm sharing it with the other. It's a kind of a wedding ring that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us. Oti beni uveinichem. That's a sign between you and me. Because we know what Shabbos is, and we know that Shabbos is not just a holiday that we consecrate for whatever reason it is, because something happened to us. The Shabbos is, we become partners with the Creator, that He gave us the special gift of sharing with Him. the special gift of Shabbos, which is something that is something which is completely different from other commandments, because that is connected only with Him and Him alone. Nobody else is a part of this relationship. It's only this connection between us. So in that sense, what is the secret of Shabbat? The secret of Shabbat is that there is a day of Shabbat, there is an event of Shabbat. But as it is with many other things, we stand there and having the Shabbat, and we don't have to do anything about it. We don't have even to wink about it. But we say, you know what Shabbos is? Shabbos is, I mean, forget all about the others. That is something, you see, we feel something very special, very private between us. That is Shabbos. So therefore, the idea of having it is, it's a special gift, a special private gift. Private. In the sense that it is only between Him and us. Therefore, it's an interesting statement, which seems to be so very strange. That Goy Shishabbat Chayav Mita. A Goy that keeps the Shabbos deserves death punishment. But why? So he didn't, okay. So he keeps the Shabbos. So why should he be punished so much? But the point is, like, it is like being, it's worse than committing adultery. If anybody barges into something which is only between him and us, this connection between Oti Beini Uveinechem, between you and me, that is the sign between you and me. So nobody can take it, and if anybody dares to take it, of course he has to be driven out. That is what we say also in the prayers, which is not a matter there of bragging or saying something else about it. You didn't give it to the nations of the world. You didn't give it to the people of the world. You gave it only to us, because that is not something that has to do with humanity per se. It doesn't even have to do with Jews per se, but it's a gift, a special gift that He gave us. And this gift that He gave us, that is what we call the specialty, the specialness of having the Shabbos. That is really the point of, at the very beginning of what we call it, the secret of Shabbat. The secret of Shabbat is our very private connection with the Lord, in a very private one. All the rest is a connection to experience, common experiences. We were together, we did together, but and these other people may share, but they cannot share the special gift that it was given with love and willingness. This ba'ava u'ratzon is something that cannot be shared with anybody else, because that's our special kind and a special sign. Let me just tell you something which I don't know if this crowd has to hear it, but it is something that can be heard also, at least. You see, there is in the halakha, there are all kinds of, I mean, statements about things that cannot be done, and what they call harsher and harsher punishments for all kinds of sins. We have even those three commandments that cannot be broken, even under the threat of death. We have three of them. See, adultery, idolatry, and murder. These are things that a person, a Jewish person, has to give his life and not to do them. On that sense, Shabbos is not in the same level. Shabbos can, and sometimes is, not kept because there is a matter of saving life. When we have a notion that a life can be saved, we desecrate the Shabbat, and we do it. We do it sometimes with great goodwill, as the halakha says that when it comes to a date, to when somebody has to be, saved on Shabbos. So it shouldn't be done by small people. It should be done by the greatest rabbis. See, Gdolei Israel, as it's written in the halakha, they should do it. Why? Because it is something that we are not ashamed of. We don't think it's a kind of a shame to do it. We say we have to do it. So on that side, Shabbos is a different kind of a holiday. And okay, so it's a holiday. It's a very important time. There are the what are called very harsh punishments for desecrating the Shabbat. But it is, in that sense, it stands within a whole realm of other mitzvot. But there is something else which is in Shabbat. When a person, and about halakha, when a person desecrates the Shabbos in public, he then becomes halachically like a goy. We treat him in many ways like a goy, meaning that, for example, the wine that he will be using is considered gein nesach. It's considered like the wine used by idol worshippers. Now, why? Why is Shabbos, as I say, on one hand, Shabbos stands in the whole group with those commandments that can be broken for saving life. But if somebody does it, desecrates it in public, willingly, he is considered what are called a person that is out of the realm of the Jewish people. See, it's two things. A person may be, and there are, of course, not in England, a person may commit adultery. I know that it was not done in England, possibly because people don't have passion enough for it. But anyway, if it happens ever in other countries, in France, say, whatever it is, in France, so the person that does it did a very grave thing and should be punished for it. But he remains a Jew. And it's not that is something to be proud of, but this Jew will be called to the Torah. I mean, he's a Jew like any other Jew. This person that desecrates the Shabbat is out of the any connection with the Jewish people. In a way, it also says on the other side, there are lots of sentiment about it. Who are those who are the book of Isaiah? Shomer Shabbat mechalel do, shomer yado ma'asot kol ra. Those who keep the Shabbos, that is their entry into what you may call everlasting life. So again, Shabbos is in a way a very special position. It is on one halachic level. It stands with many other things, but it stands out as very exceptional. It's not the same thing. A person doesn't put on tefillin did something wrong. A person I'll give you another example, which is for many people perhaps the opposite. A person that desecrates the high holiday of atonement, Yom Kippurim, did a great sin, but is still considered one of the Jews, and his wine is kosher wine as as of others. But those people who deal with the Shabbat, they touch the Shabbat, these are outcasts. Now why? Because you see, to put it in one way, and I think it's a very strong way of putting it, is as it is written, the Shabbat is a gift. It is in a certain way, it is not a part of the whole set of what we may call the human duties and even the commemoration that we need. We have in the law we have mitzvot what is called eidot chukim u'mishpatim. We have what is called we have commandments that are what are called rational commandments, so to say. We have commandments that are for keeping the memory. Many of them are the holidays, tefillin, tzitzit, and so on, are for keeping a memory. And there are some laws that are not connected to anything. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments have basically, have only one exception. Basically, the Ten Commandments deal with what I would call it what is expected from a nice human being. See, from the point of belief to the point of keeping himself within borders. The only exception there is the Shabbos. That is something that is exceptional because it is not connected with the other laws. The Shabbos has nothing to do with the other laws. There are other laws that are very well placed, each of them in its own context. But what is Shabbos doing here? What Shabbos is doing there because, as I say, that is the special, very special gift that we received. We received this special gift as a kind of a... When I'm really in love, I'm trying not to give something commonplace that can be bought in every shop. See, theoretically, other people may have also their days of, say, if I speak about Americans, of Thanksgiving. Why not? Why shouldn't they? I mean, there is a day, and the nation feels thankful, and so they give thanks. It's all right from every point of view to have something like this. But you see, Shabbos is not a Thanksgiving. It's not a thanks for what it is. The special connection between us and everybody should. He is in love with us. I don't know why, but that is for him to judge. I mean, just imagine, couldn't he not choose people more glorious, more wise, and a little bit more obedient? I mean, so anyway, he chose us, and he's somehow in love with us. So what he does to us is to give us the very special gift, something which is completely private ownership, that is the Shabbat. And so you can understand also why the position of desecrating the Shabbat is so horrible. You see, what can be worse as behavior when somebody comes to me, even a small person, even a child, comes to me and gives me a gift, and I take the gift and I throw it back in his face? See, that is just, it's much worse than bad manners. It's a real deep offense that... very offensive to the person who gave the gift, but it shows, it reflects terribly on the person who is throwing away the gift. So you see, if we have this gift of Shabbos and we somehow throw it back at the owner, it's a terrible thing to do. That's why I say, if you behave in such a way, if you do it not because of a temptation, but because you are not ashamed of it, you do it what they call in public, then you are possibly out of any kind of a consideration. One cannot really deal with you as a human being. You are out. See? You are out because it is not because that is the harshest or the worst sin that one can do. But it is something that is, you cut yourself from any kind of a basic humanity. Humanity in the sense of how do I behave to a gift, to a giver of the gift. And so, just try to stop here. It is what I spoke about was one point, and you'll see it in many different places, in many different ways. What I call it, the secret of Shabbat. The secret of Shabbat, which is the very private relationship between the worlds. There are, and I had lots of plans to speak about the notion of Shabbat, the notion of elevation of the universe in the day of Shabbat. But that is another side of Shabbat. That's another side of the secret. Because the secret has different sides, and some of these paths are, I'll put it this in the following way. When I get the gift, I get a gift. Sometimes, as if I'm a boy, a baby, I get it, I hold it in my hands, and I see it's a very nice thing to play with. With the time, I get a deeper appreciation of what I received. So in order to understand Shabbos in many, many other ways, it's to appreciate the gift and therefore to appreciate what is the secret of Shabbat. It takes a long time. It is one of the things that one does at Shabbat. Let me just say in one word another point of the secret of Shabbat. Secret of Shabbat in a different way is the secret how to act without acting, how to create without doing, how to have a message without having speech. That is Shabbos. Shabbos is basically in the, and that's the other sense of it. Shabbos is a secret because it is basically. I mean, you have, in the Shabbos you have all kinds of things, from lighting the candles to eating the gefilte fish, to say reading the Torah and to going it for hours to the synagogue. All these things are some kinds of ornaments to beautify the Shabbos. They are ornaments put on the Shabbos. And as it is, the Shabbos deserves to put some ornaments on it. So we have all kinds of ornaments of what we have to do. But what is Shabbos? What is the essence of Shabbos? The essence of Shabbos is just one word. Stop. Quiet. That is Shabbos. That is the secret of Shabbos, which is how can something like this be what we say in the song written for Shabbos, which is Kihi Mekor HaBrocho, that because she, Shabbos as a day, is the source of blessing. When Shabbos is in itself something like nothing, it is the quiet. It is not the words. It is what comes beyond the words. There is what I call quiet, and that is what Shabbos is. Now, to understand that point of Shabbos is a higher level than just understanding the gift. But that is understanding that the gift is, it's a mystery. We receive the gift of Shabbos, that the gift of Shabbos is not any ornaments. They come later. The Shabbos is not wrapping of the Shabbos. The Shabbos is the gift. We are given something which is from hand to hand. And what are we given? The secret of how can there be the supreme holiness of being just still, standing still, doing nothing, which is Shabbos. Shabbos is the ability of just, sorry for the time. I know that you are all falling asleep, but just a point of a translation. In the book of Kings, there is a verse that is written about the appearance, I mean the epiphany in a way of God to Elijah the prophet. And it says there was first fire, but the Lord is not in fire. There is a whirlwind. The world is not in the whirlwind. Then comes called, there is quiet silence, and that is the appearance. And the word is in the Hebrew it is said called mamadaka. Now it was translated, and I think mistakenly translated, as a small still voice. That's if you know it from, even not from the Bible, but that is the small still voice called mamadaka. And I think it's a mistaken translation, because if you want to keep it right, you should translate it the following. Called mamadaka is the small voice of stillness. It's from a complicated notion, truly. The small voice of stillness, that is called mamadaka. What is the voice of stillness? The voice of, so to say, theoretically something, nothing is moving, nothing is there. That is void. And that is, what voice does it have? That is the voice of Shabbos. So that is a different level of the secret of Shabbos, or Rasa de Shabbos. Rasa de Shabbos is, how can I stand before the stillness and to have everything without getting anything concrete? So that's the other part. But basically, even if I don't get this high level, at least when I touch the Shabbat, I should at least remember there's another smaller secret. And the secret is, it's a gift of love. We should take it as such.